What's up, party people? It is that time of the week again where you allow this poor soul to try to work out his thoughts on his favorite basketball team while you have pity and listen to him. That poor individual is named Ronce Rajan. I am the host of the Believe Podcast Network. Thank you again for joining me. And what a week it has been for a Mavs fan. It is as good of a week as you can ask for. With the playoffs right around the corner, the Mavs are finally getting into full gear and getting much needed wins against some very quality opponents, quite honestly. Those opponents start with last Tuesday in the Miami Heat. Now, this was a week that could definitely have gone away for the Mavs. It's another week without big man Kristaps Porzingis. In fact, in the last 10 games, Porzingis has played once, and even that game was cut short. So the Mavs could very well find themselves in a situation where they're shuffling around and unsure of the identity and fold under the pressure. And even against this Miami Heat team, who are without Jimmy Butler, their star, or a high-volume role player like Tyler Hero, the Mavs could very well once again play down to their competition and lose a game that they should have won. Especially they would have the excuse of saying, well, we don't have our highest paid player on the roster tonight. But the Mavs didn't do that. Luka was his usual incredible self. We've come to grow so accustomed to his incredible play night in and night out that we're hardly shocked when he has a great stat line, but it doesn't mean we can't appreciate it. It's a game where he has 23 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists, coming through like he usually does. But one thing we've mentioned is, like I said before, Porzingis is out of this game. So is Maxi Kleba. In the past, I said somebody needs to step up as the number three. Well, right now, there is a huge void as the number two guy that needs to be filled. And that spot, especially when Porzingis is out, has been kind of manned by either Josh Richardson or Tim Hardaway. And in this past 2 weeks, but especially in this week, Tim Hardaway has solidified himself as the guy for that spot, who sees that spot and says, it's not too big for me. In fact, I want that role. After dropping a career-high 42 points last week, Hardaway follows up this week with a 36-point game for the Mavs, coming up big and showing that when Luka needs a secondary ball handler and a reliable second scorer, Hardaway is the guy now. The duo of Doncic and Hardaway combined for 15 of 28 from three and 59 points, which is honestly what you would ask of Luka and Porzingis as a duo. So the fact that Hardaway is coming through right now and filling in that void, it seems almost like second nature to him. It doesn't seem like a foreign concept for him to step up. Even though he's never really been considered that type of guy in his career, especially for a playoff team, Hardaway looks more than comfortable right now. And I think that's a huge, huge sign that he's ready for the playoffs as well as this Mavs team. In fact, with Porzingis out of the lineup, they're gelling so much better. That cohesiveness that Luka and Hardaway have, they just seem to work so well and play so well off of each other. It comes back to that case that I've made before about Porzingis, which he could be a great player. We don't want to use the word great lightly, but he could be a very good player. But does that really lead to wins? Is that conducive to a winning culture? Because the ball stops with him. He's usually very moody if he doesn't get his way. And he doesn't really look to make his teammates better. There's been accusations that he is more of a player that's okay being a great stat stuffer on a bad non-playoff team rather than taking a second or, God forbid, third role on a solid and respectable team. And if that's the case, maybe we don't need him for the playoffs. I know that sounds very, very presumptuous, but the way that this team is playing right now, they definitely have momentum behind them. And I worry that if you take a Kristaps Porzingis and plug him into this lineup, it does more harm than good. Maybe on paper you're better, but practically speaking, the way things are going and just the way they've gone in this season, this Mavs team seems to be far more natural and free-flowing when Porzingis is out of the lineup, mainly because the players who you would not consider stars feel far more empowered, play far beyond their pay grade. And that's exactly what you're going to need when you're going to the playoffs, is people playing above their heads, out of their minds, because the teams that you're going to go against on paper are supposed to be better than you. Next on the schedule, we have the Brooklyn Nets, the heavily favored Brooklyn Nets, the team that many people see coming out of the East when it comes to playoff time. And right now, they might not be playing that way, but the Mavs definitely took advantage of that. Once again, KP out of the lineup, the Mavs do not miss a beat. In fact, they play even better. Hardaway has another solid game. Luka plays as incredible as you can ask of him. Luka has 24, 10, and 8, whereas Hardaway has 23 of his own. And the Mavs survive an onslaught from Kyrie Irving in this game, who goes off for 45. They manage to hold KD to 20. And with Harden out of the lineup, this contribution from Hardaway, coupled with your usual excellent play from Luka, was enough to hold off this very high reputable Nets team. And the Mavs survive 113 to 109. It is a statement win for the Mavs. It shows that, hey, okay, we're not just beating teams who are below us on the totem pole. We are able to compete with the best of the best, something that we've known and we've discussed on this podcast. The Mavs can do it. They just don't seem to want to, but they do. They pulled it out. A cause for concern in this game is Luka picks up another technical foul. That was number 15 for him in this Nets game. And that ties him for first in this league for technical fouls, along with Dwight Howard. And when Luka is in the same category as Dwight Howard for the biggest whiners in the league, that's very troubling. What's more troubling is the fact that we've talked about it. He might get himself suspended soon. As we know, suspension comes at technical foul 16. Luka at this game gets to number 15, and every Mavs fan is on their heels just begging Luka to not complain with the refs. But overall, great win over the Nets. Like we said last week, go hug a Wizards fan because they were willing to lose to you and then beat the Lakers on the back end. The Nets lose to the Mavs, and then they beat another Western Conference foe, the one directly in front of the Mavs, the Denver Nuggets, further solidifying what the playoff picture will look like. The Mavs-Nuggets seem almost likely. It's not a foregone conclusion yet. You know, the Nuggets can pick up a few wins. The Clippers can lose a few places. Maybe the Mavs go cold. But as of now, it looks like it's going to be the Mavs against the Nuggets, the Blazers against the Clippers, and it's going to be the Lakers against the Golden State Warriors in the play-in format, which, more power to them, good luck to them, but I'm just glad it's not us, because the Mavs decided to start rolling at the right time, and that has them rolling into a matchup against the lowly Cleveland Cavaliers. And the Mavs, for their part, beat a lesser team and did not just play down to their competition because they thought it was an easy win. So let's have a cause for celebration that you beat a team that you're supposed to beat. Now, this game was a foregone conclusion by halftime, quite honestly. The Mavs were up by 25 at that point. Luka only needs 24 minutes to get 23 points. Hardaway, another respectable night of 20 points. The Mavs end up winning this game by 20. Carlisle gets up to 15th in the all-time rankings for coaching wins in the NBA. So special congratulations to Rick Carlisle. Now moving on. And we move on to the Cavaliers again. It was a back-to-back game. But again, not a super eventful game in terms of the play. The Mavs blow the Cavaliers out again, 124 to 97. This game wasn't really about the actual play of the Mavs. Don't get me wrong. It's good that the Mavs played well. Hardaway comes out of this game with 25 points of his own. Luka has a 15-point, 5-rebound, 5-assist night. It's not great, but, you know, he does it in 22 minutes. mainly because the Mavs were killing the Cavs at this point. What's the takeaway for this game, though, is that dreaded 16th technical foul finds its way for Luka. Or should I say, Luka's hand finds its way into the nuts of Colin Sexton. Now, he says he wasn't shooting for the groin. I believe him. Luka said after the Nets game he has to be better. He can't complain as much. And this wasn't a complaint as much as it... Well, at least it's not a complaint on the part of Luka. I promised you Colin Sexton is complaining about it the next morning. But Luka finds that foul. And ladies and gentlemen, Luka Doncic, well, first ejected from that game. Doesn't really matter. It was a blowout anyways. But Luka Doncic will now be suspended for a game. And when the Mavs play their next game, they won't have presumably their best player in Luka Doncic or Kristaps Porzingis. Now we'll see how much of a leader Tim Hardaway Jr. is, because he's been playing great as the number two. But this hurts. This hurts to see. Now you can look at this on a positive lens. At least Luka got his suspension out of the way, right? At least it didn't happen in the playoffs, where he will undoubtedly be fiery and all up in officials' faces. So that's one way to look at it. He got his suspension out of the way. I have to look into what is the amount of technicals you can get for number two in terms of suspensions. But as of now, Luka will be out of commission when the Mavs go up against the Grizzlies. And that isn't a great sign, because yes, the Grizzlies aren't a great team. But as you know, the last time the Mavs played the Grizzlies, they took it to the wire. It took a prayer of a heave for Luka to save the game for the Mavs against the Grizzlies. That is a solid team. So the fact that Luka will be out, probably Porzingis will be out, you're better off taking that bet that he won't be playing. It's a bit concerning. And at this point in the season, the Mavs have not solidified their spot in the standings just yet. The Trailblazers, if they pick up a win, they can overtake the Mavs if they have an off night. So as Mavs fans, tomorrow night when we go up against the Grizzlies, you just gotta hope, hey, this is not an aberration that we're seeing from Tim Hardaway. Maybe Josh Richardson steps up. Maybe we can get Maxi Kleber back in the lineup. All hands on deck. It's going to have to be the mantra. We're going to have to see how well Carlisle can coach this team up. But this could be good for the Mavs as well. It's like all the role players and all the supporting cast will be getting a dose of what it's like to step up right before the playoffs. Because as you know, after this game, the Mavs only have three more. And then it is playoff time, ladies and gentlemen. So let's look at how Hardaway has been playing in recent memory. Now, as I said, to start out the week, Hardaway had that brilliant 36-point effort, followed it up with 23 points, 20 points, and 25 points. He's been absolutely on fire. You love to see it. This is what you're asking for your supporting cast. Who's going to step up? Who will be that guy? Over the last four games, Tim Hardaway is averaging 26, which arguably you can say that you would ask your number one player to average that much. So the fact that he is doing that consistently at the number two spot is incredibly encouraging. And that doesn't even account for his career high of 42 that he had last week. He is doing all you can ask for and more. He's outplaying his contract. I hope the Mavs can even afford him over the offseason, but that remains to be seen. That's still in the future. Right now, let's focus in the here and now. We're lucky to have him. And I hope, you know, on Tim Hardaway's part, this is somebody who's incredibly streaky, somebody who has great nights and then can go silent for two or three games. So the fact that he's doing this consistently, I hope he doesn't wear off soon. But if this is a indicative of what's to be expected in the playoffs, it is going to be incredibly, incredibly fascinating what this team can do. If Hardaway can keep up this level of play along with Luka, and heck, throw in Porzingis for it too, and if Porzingis does his regular thing, the three of them can be lethal. My only concern is that I don't think he can keep that up if Porzingis is in the lineup. And I definitely do see Porzingis, for as much flack as we give him about sitting out big games, I still have to believe by playoff time, he's going to have to get up off his bum and play. Because what else would you be paying the guy for? So that brings us to the playoff picture at hand. As it stands, and as stated before, we got the Clippers at 3, the Nuggets at 4, the Mavs at 5, Blazers at 6, Lakers at 7. Let's say the playoffs were to start today. Is that the matchup that you want, Mavs fans? Would you rather play the Clippers or the Nuggets? Quite honestly, there is a good case to be made for both. People say that even the Nuggets, as shorthanded as they are still playing great basketball for the most part. At least they were a few weeks ago. Aaron Gordon has been a solid acquisition. Michael Porter, as you know, is as hot as they come. Now, he does have his detractors and people who don't think that he comes up big. They think he's too young or too injury-plagued. I am a big proponent of Michael Porter Jr. And, of course, there's Nikola Jokic. Now, people don't think they have that takeover player with Jamal Murray out of the lineup. Whereas in the Clippers, you have two of them and one tried and tested scorer in Kawhi Leonard, who's a two-time NBA champion. But for the story and for the narrative, it almost seems like a rite of passage that you have to beat the team that eliminated you from the playoffs last year. It's almost poetic to say that the Mavs take that next step forward and into the second round by being the team that beat them in the first round last year. It's really a matter of perception, I guess. How do you feel about it, Mavs fans? Because for me, I don't care about the story. I just want to win. I just want to see Luka and the Mavs go up against the least of competition. And I just think maybe from a talent perspective, the Nuggets have still more stars, maybe less superstars, but still more stars. But I also think that they're less experienced than the Clippers. Say what you will about playoff P, or some people call him pandemic P because he really doesn't show up in the playoffs. He is still Paul George at the end of the day. He is still one of the 10 top players in the NBA. And Kawhi Leonard, who needs no backing or sponsorship on my end. You all know what he can do. The two of them, two players on any given night that can take over, that terrifies me. I'd rather go for the younger team. But the Mavs still need to figure out how they're going to approach the playoffs. How does Porzingis fit into all of this? How does Hardaway keep up this hot streak that he's on? Can Luka contain his emotions and have his quality play over the stretch of his career extend into the playoffs and maybe even take a bigger step, if that's even possible? Does Josh Richardson step up? Does Kleba return the lineup? Does Brunson come off the bench and give you quality play? Even Powell has been a quality reserve as of late. There is a lot of unanswered questions, and it's going to be really, really exciting to see how those questions are answered. And a lot of them will be answered in the next week. But until then, take care of yourselves. God bless. Thank you for listening to me once again. And I'll catch y'all on the next episode on the Believe Podcast Network.